Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
I want to start with what many think was the greatest roast of all time. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Because nowadays, anytime anything doesn't suck, it seemingly is the best thing ever, which is pretty lame to me. So no, that was not the best roast ever, but it was pretty damn good. Pretty damn funny. Pretty wild. Not all of it. I mean, some of it was cringe. Some of it was awkward as hell. And some of it was just painful. No names mentioned. Ben Affleck. You know, on a night like that, if that's the first name I mention, then it was cringy and awkward as hell, Benjamin. But it was a legit roast, and that's what a roast is. Sometimes hilarious, sometimes cringe, especially in a live, unedited, three-hour-plus marathon of a roast. So that's something right there. I mean, that's why I expected to be bored to tears, but that's not what it was. The pan frying of Bacon 46 was, on the whole, surprisingly enjoyable. And it did get raw. Pretty funny. I mean, look, we all know there is an absolute bleep ton to rag on when it comes to Tom Brady. I mean, there is material for days, which is why I'm not really sure why Kevin Baconface volunteered to do this. I mean, I've got a number of theories, but who would want to subject themselves to that? All right, one, money. How much money? How much would it be worth to have to sit and listen to all that? You already have money if you're that guy. Number two, attention. All right, but how much attention does one man need? How much attention can one man possibly crave? And sure, the dude loves attention, but do you want that attention? How much money and how much attention would make all of that worthwhile? Like, I get that he's trying to build a media empire. I get that he's trying to become a media star. I get that this dude is all in on whatever he does. All about the grind, all about the work ethic, and he wants to crush his next career. But holy crap, did he need to go through all of that in order to get a leg up on a broadcast career? I mean, credit for going through all that crap. I'm just not sure many want that. But did the guy really need it? I'm going to say no. So for that reason, I'm actually going to put some respect on Bacon's face. I mean, because laughing at yourself is one thing. Enduring that for 3 hours is quite another. Brady said last night that he misses the love of his life. Football, which is kind of funny, except for clearly football is not the love of his life. Getting attention is the love of this guy's life. That's got to be his biggest passion of all, even if it means that they're pointing and laughing. I mean, I know it's a roast. That's what happens at a roast. You get roasted. But this dude got roasted. This dude, Bacon, he got deep fried. He got shoved into a microwave. I mean, is there anything this guy didn't get crushed for? He got crushed for losing a fortune in crypto. He got crushed for losing his family. He got crushed for having his ex-wife date her jiu-jitsu instructor. He got crushed for leaving Bridget Moynihan while she was pregnant. He got crushed for retiring multiple times. He got crushed for being the vainest dude ever. He got crushed for Alex Guerrero and that TB12 nonsense. He got crushed for his diet. I mean, dude, he got crushed for everything. It was a real roast, as in absolutely nothing was off limits, which again is why I've got no idea why Bacon wanted that or needed that. I guess the fact that I'm sitting here talking about it is all the payment Bacon Face needed. Again, he's the all-time greatest quarterback, but he also happens to be the all-time greatest attention craver, apparently. And when did that happen? For the longest time, we knew nothing about this guy. Back to my other point. The thing that made last night work was nothing was off limits. Well, one thing apparently. And that was maybe the most obvious thing to joke about all night long. And it didn't involve Bacon Face or even the Hood. It involved Bob Kraft. And if that rich, octogenarian billionaire is going to show up in attendance, how is the massage parlor off limits? That's topic number one. I mean, obviously he had to know that showing up was going to mean Bob Kraft massage jokes. The only person in the world surprised by that was Bacon Face, apparently. And he just had to let Jeff Ross know that Ross crossed a line, even though there were allegedly no lines at all.
So Tom became a patriot, moved up to New England, and on the first day of training camp, that scrawny rookie famously walked into the owner, Robert Kraft's office, and said, "I'm the best decision your organization has ever made." Would you like a massage? I love Robert Kraft.
I love that again.
Okay. He's having fun. Look at him.
I thought that was lame. Even as a bit, especially if it was a bit, which I have to think it was. I mean, how is that not planned? I mean, I'm sure Bacon thought that was hilarious. That was their way to do a massage joke and also cover their asses. But no, that was not nearly a Will Smith at the Oscars moment. To me, it was like the exact opposite. The exact opposite of a Will Smith moment. It seemed planned. It seemed contrived. It wasn't funny when much of the night was hilarious. And was it really that much worse than anything else? Like, what was that? So no, I don't think that Bacon nearly slapped Jeff Ross last night. Although, Jeff might have deserved it for showing up in a roast Jay Simpson gamer. Like he's some kind of clone or something. I'm just surprised that nobody has ever tried to call into a smack-off as roast Jay Simpson. But if a roast is a different animal altogether anyway, then Ross is uncommon among the uncommon. In fact, I would have been shocked if he didn't show up in a roast Jay Simpson gamer. I probably would have been disappointed if he didn't show up like that. But no, Tom Brady did not almost slap roast Jay Simpson. Just like he didn't admit to Deflategate. You're not going to believe this, but the dude was making a joke. The dude was just basically saying, man, I would say pretty much anything for 20 mil.
Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I f***ing did it.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. That's pretty good. To his credit, Bacon came out pretty well at the end of the program. He was pretty baggy and pretty raunchy, but also pretty funny. I'll give him that. Brady even went in on Hoodman for having his man boobs caught on a ring cam back in November.
And now, for the real reason y'all here, Coach Bill Belichick. Everybody asks me which ring is my favorite. I used to say the next one. But now that I'm retired, my favorite ring is the camera that caught Coach Belichick slinking out of that poor girl's house at 6 a.m. a few months ago. Hey, you still got it. Respect, baby.
That poor girl. Respect, baby. Great to see Bacon going at Hood in good fun. But, also with a hint of bitterness and a dash of awkwardness, that was probably my favorite thing about the entire night. The tension among the big three. The tension among Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. Because it was definitely there. Even if all three did their very best to act like it wasn't. I mean, not long ago, these dudes were untouchable. They had the best thing going in all of sports. Probably in the history of sports. They were on top of the world. And they were there last night taking part in the type of circus that we never thought that we would ever see any of them take part in. Awkwardly trying to roast each other without coming across as passive-aggressive or aggressive-aggressive. And that, to me, was the best part of the whole program. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced? A brake light fix or a quick service, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Like, it cracked me up when Kevin Hart made Hoodman and Kraft take a shot together. Like, Bob got overly mushy and Bob came crawling up there and Hood wanted nothing to do with it. Hood was not going up there. And Kevin Hart just kept egging him on. Like, come on, man. Come on, Bill. Come on, Bill. Here comes Bob.
We're on the roast. I'm on the broadcasting.
Come on, man. Get your ass up here. Look at Bob. He's crawling up here. So he gets all, Bob gets all mushy about it. Who just stood there, didn't say a word. The mumbler didn't even offer up a mumble.
Bill, this is a big moment, Bill.
I want to say this is the greatest coach in the history of the game that did what no one else has done. And having Tom Brady and him was the greatest honor the good Lord gave me. So, come here.
You know, the Hood's up there like, good one, Bob. That's funny. I'm the greatest ever. You know, that's not what you said to Arthur Blank, is it, old man? That's not what you told me when you fired my ass. Hey, let me turn around so I can pull that knife out of my back. What are you talking about? I mean, I don't even think the guy did the shot, did he? I was watching it. I kept waiting for him to knock back that shot. I don't think he did. Maybe a sip to play along. So nice words from Bob Kraft, no words from the Hood Man. To his credit, though, Belichick did actually all right in his moment at the podium. Mr. Medium Man did have some good material. He botched a lot of it, but he had some decent jokes, including this one. I wish it came out more cleanly. It was one of his finer moments. The one about the 10-part roast of Bill Belichick on Apple TV.
Seriously, I'm so honored to be here for the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. It's not to be confused with the roast of Bill Belichick on the 10-part Apple TV series.
I mean, such a good line, actually. If he had just gotten that thing out cleanly. Could not have butchered it any worse, but it was such a good line. Like, made me laugh out loud. Funny, but botched. Self-deprecating, but also super passive-aggressive. Awkward, for sure. But I thought it was pretty enjoyable. Again, it just blows me away to see the Hood Man and the Kraft volunteering for a circus like this. But then again, they really had no choice, right? No matter how they came off. And they did come off pretty well. Not participating, though, would have been a much worse look. They know that. They had to. And maybe on some level they wanted to. And clearly no attention is bad attention for Tom Bacon-Face Brady. He was like Darvin Ham last night. He was like Darvin Ham in the sense that he was looking for all the smoke, and he got all the smoke. But somehow smoked bacon came out of it looking pretty good. Like, if you can sit there and endure that for all those hours and come out the other end, you're going to come out looking pretty good. You're going to come out looking like, hey, man, that's a pretty good guy. Hey, yo, that guy's actually pretty human. So I think somehow Smoked Bacon came out of it looking pretty good. Well, as good as you can come off after sitting through everybody pointing out your extreme obvious flaws for 3+ hours. But again, credit for that. That wasn't just some behind closed doors locker room smack. That was some of the nastiest, harshest smack broadcast worldwide. Like nearly every gnarly comedian coming off the edge looking to knock this dude the hell out. And he stood in and he took every shot. So credit to you, Bacon Face. I tip my hat to what's left of your face. Also, before I leave this topic, let me tip my hat to another winner. Eli Manning. Eli posted, quote, I thought about attending the roast of Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time. Wow, Eli. Easy, brother. Average smack. But the cleanest roast is always scoreboard, right? Eli still has beachfront property in Tom's head and did it in as bland a manner as possible. And no Giants profanity, fans. No F-bombs.
And Giants fans. F*** Eli and f*** you twice.
See, look what he had to resort to respond. Eli, quote, I thought about attending the roast to Tom Brady last night, but I did not want to roast him for a third time. Wow. Clean. Nice. Nice radio. And then check out Tom's response. Right to the F-bomb.
And Giants fans. F*** Eli and f*** you twice.
Pretty funny. However, the only one with a greater scoreboard on Tom is Giselle's current boyfriend. This is where things got really dicey. How about Nikki Glaser with maybe the line of the night? Maybe. Quote, just knowing your ex-wife's new boyfriend can kick your ass while bleeping hers? That's got to be terrible. End of quote. Again, not my words. Credit to Nikki for that. Wow.
For real.
And normally I don't play this game. You can hit me up, though, with your favorite line of the night. I'm going to end that open with that line because how do you top that? That was the line of the night right there. I am so pumped to tell you all about Moink. That's Moo plus Oink. Moink is a meat subscription box company on a mission to fight for the family farm. They are located in rural America, run by an 8th-generation female farmer. Their animals are raised humanely, their employees are paid a living wage, and the quality of their product is better than anything you'll find in a store. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pastured pork and chicken, and sustainable wild-caught Alaskan salmon straight to your door. Moink farmers farm like our grandparents did, and as a result, Moink meat tastes like it should because the family farm does it better, and the Moink difference is a difference that you can taste. Unlike the supermarket, Moink gives you total control over the quality and source of your food. You choose the meat delivered in every box. Choose between ribeyes to chicken breasts to pork chops to salmon fillets and much more. Plus, you can cancel anytime. Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary called Moink's bacon the best bacon he's ever tasted. Ring doorbell founder Jamie Siminoff jumped at the chance to invest in Moink. Keep America farming going by signing up at moinkbox.com/Rome. Moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do that, get free bacon for a year. Free bacon for a year. That website, once again, is moinkbox.com/Rome. When you do, that's 1 year of the best bacon you will ever taste, but for a limited time. moinkbox.com/Rome. That's moinkbox.com/Rome. Cameron Jordan, always great to talk to you. Cam, thanks for doing it, man. How are things?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you on. Listen, I want to ask you really quickly before we talk about your situation and the team. Did you watch that Tom Brady roast last night? And if so, what did you think of that whole thing?
I don't know the last time I've actually tuned into roasts, but I definitely have seen the highlights, the viral moments, and I was like, oh, all right, next.
Dude, seriously, like who? I mean, maybe you have a better take on this than I do. Who would sign up for something like that? And what do you get out of something like that? Why do you think he did that?
I've yet, you know, back when it was sort of funny, back, you know, maybe like the last time I tuned in was maybe a Justin Bieber roast. After that, there was a time when those roasts were funny. And then now, I mean, it is what it is. What would make you go on one? Got to be monetary advancement.
Right? I would say monetary advancement, like, for me. But for him, does that guy need monetary advancement?
Maybe. I don't know.
Fair.
You know? But at some point, there's always going to be a number that we can't walk away from.
Yeah, there's that, and we don't really know anybody's financial situation, so maybe so. Cam Jordan joining us. All right, so thanks for your thoughts on that. Tell me about your offseason. How's it been going, and what's kept you busy aside from getting ready for that 14th season?
Man, I don't know. I don't know what hasn't kept me busy. I was excited about the draft. We picked up a D-tackle, which I'm always excited about. I think there's so many things to be excited about. I've done a lot of rehab somewhere in this last couple months, end up getting surgery on an ankle, cleaning up some things from season, and that's just it. I'm so focused on revenge season. I get to travel a little bit, and be a dad. You know, it's like, you know, a full time dad, not just a hey, I'm working and I got from 5 to 8 with the kids. Now I get to, you know, see practices, see games, see you know, what daily lives look like, and That's a fun part for me.
Dude, that's so cool. I was asking about your dad because your dad also had a great, great career. What was he like when he played and you were growing up? Was he able to find that time and mix in that time to spend with you?
Yeah, that man is a mastermind. I mean, you know, I always joke that it takes two kids to equal pops. You know, I'm on the football side. My brother was in construction for a while, and while he was playing football, he was you know, playing in the NFL during the season, and then the off season, he graduated from Brown as an engineer, so he was working for Cargill or Ryan Companies or whoever else was a part of that faction. So he was always working, and then he'd still come home and be regimented to where, you know what he's eating, know what he's doing, know what he's, you know, just watching him grow up was a spectacle for sure. Knowing every Saturday he was going to a park and we'd be running routes. He was training us to be athletes, and we never knew it because it was quote unquote fun.
Cameron Jordan joining us. Did he actually work in the off seasons back in the day? Like, did he have a job?
Yes.
Isn't that wild?
I mean, back in, what did he get drafted in, 82?
Uh-huh.
You know, I think his pay scale was like 32,000 or something like that. And there was a point where he was almost making as much being an engineer as he was his first NFL season. And I think there was a time where he weighed the option of, do I just go full go at being an engineer, or do I stay in the league to, you know, chase my dreams?
Dude, that is an incredible story. He was, in fact, drafted in 1982. Can you imagine having to think, should I be an engineer and make more money than I am in the NFL? Dude, those are tough shoes for you to walk into, right? Like, you've got to live up to him not only intellectually, but athletically as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I did go to the number one public institution.
Yes,
nation.
You did, dude.
The University of California at Berkeley.
Yes, you did.
You're right. It's not a Brown. It's not an Ivy League, I guess.
My man, I want to be very clear about this. I am a UC product as well. I love that you went to Cal. I went to UC Santa Barbara. Cal is an amazing institution, so you have nothing to apologize. It might not be Ivy, but then again, we are the Ivy of the West Coast.
We are the Ivies.
We are, man. We are. You know, we're talking to Cam Jordan. You mentioned what the team did in the draft. Let me ask you this. The team also signed Chase Young, and he was the second overall pick, obviously, in 2020. He won the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year award. He's been hit hard by some injuries. He had neck surgery in March, but you were still lobbying for him on social media to join the team. Your approval or staff of approval carries a lot of weight. Why did you push for him to join the Saints? What do you like about him at this point?
I mean, you've seen his game. Now, his maturation has sort of been harbored by injuries, but you know what type of player you're getting. And if that can help down the roster, down the line, great. I think in any given football season, sometimes you face depth issues 12 games in. Because, I mean, as violent as this game is, it's rare to have your whole starting line continue just to be the starting line. There's going to be some injuries. There's going to be some nags or whatever that is. And the more depth and talent you can grab onto, the better you're going to be in the long run.
You know, when you look at your career, you had six seasons with double digit sack totals. You've got a Hall of Fame resume. I'm sure that getting home is always rewarding, although sacks sometimes are overrated. But are there some quarterbacks who you enjoy sacking that much more, either because of, I don't know, their mobility, how hard it is to get them on the ground, or maybe just their stature in the game?
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be sacks that I remember versus sacks that I probably will never. You know, there's, and that's probably more on a personal vendetta than it is like I want to go get them. You know, there was when I first got into the league, there was the needed to get Cam Newton because he was our draft class. And there was a Matt Ryan because he played for Atlanta Falcons. There was, like, I really, really wanted to sack the quarterback from the Broncos. And I'm going to forget his name because it was, like, during COVID year. And it was just, like, a storyline of, like, him being pulled up probably, like, 2 weeks prior. It was, like, bagging groceries or something like that. And, like, it was the first time I hit a quarterback and felt bad. I was like, I'm sorry. I needed this. You know, there was times where I wanted to go after Tampa Bay, because Tom Brady was there, and there was some energy there. It was all personal vendettas, nothing more of stature, but you know, things you could say, like, you know, after seeing the Tom Brady roast, like, that was my 100th sack.
Yeah, so, what did that mean? What did it mean to get him for your 100th sack?
I mean, you know, when you think about 100 sacks. That was beyond my wildest dreams to begin with. You know, when I think I want to be in the league. I was like, I got to be in the league 4 or 5 years, possibly in the league for 13. I was like, you know, the average NFL career is 2.7 years at the time. I was like, now I just probably raise a little bit more. But I was like, I think if I get like 30 sacks, 40 sacks, you know what, let's go for 50. I think I wrote it down. I was like, if I get 50 sacks, that's a solid career. Like, I'm not a disgrace to the last name. And, you know, sitting at 100, I'm creating new goals and targets, and then I just gave up. I was like, look, what I want to do is play to the best of my ability for as long as I can and enjoy this game to the fullest. And I think I've done that.
Cameron Jordan joining us. Is that the goal? Is that the target right now? Like, you used to have certain things that you wanted to hit, but is that kind of the more – I mean, is that what you're in it for right now, to play the game as long as you can at a high level and enjoy every moment?
Absolutely. If I can't enjoy football, then what's the point of being here? You know, that's why I love watching old clips. I love watching, you know, the John Randalls and the Chris Dolmans, and you talk about Ray Lewis, and you probably put on some Dawkins film, put on the Devonta Hittner films. You know, like, I love the old school ball where you just, like, you know, the Joey Browner ball, like when you're coming down with just reckless abandonment. I love it still. So then we're harbored by all these rules and regulations now, so I don't know why I'm watching these old clips now. I should start watching more 7-on-7 or you know, the flag versions. But I love the idea that you can bash someone and stand over and know that you've dominated them and then get to do it again.
Cam Jordan joining us. Dude, I'm getting chills listening to you talk about it like that. You know, I'm older than you. I'd go back even further. You know, like, the guys that used to play it, like Gary Fensick, Steve Atwater. I mean, these dudes would just lay the wood. I mean, it was absolutely fierce. You know, I was checking out your podcast. You had a really interesting conversation with Troy Vincent about the hip drop tackle. What did you ask him, and were you satisfied with his response?
Yeah, I mean, knowing Troy Vincent in the position that he's in, you know that I've always wanted to know, like, what is your mentality of looking at these things? Because you used to be a DB. You used to be somebody that you played with some of the hardest hitters in the game. And his idea that he's moving the game forward in a positive manner, like, how can I, you know, eliminate some of these risks, eliminate some of these guys with having a shorter average career, you know? Like, think about the injuries that have happened. And if you're talking about injuries and you calculate that in, I can see where you can come from. Meanwhile, you know, I'm still active and on the defensive side. And again, I grew up in an era where Pops played from 82 to 94 with some absolute animals. I'm on the animalistic side. You know, I'm like, I need those hits, though. Don't try and slow my young guys down, because now you get caught up in the You can't fall on a quarterback. You got to watch how you hit a quarterback. You got to, you know, you got to protect the quarterback. You got to protect a defenseless receiver. You got to make sure you hit them the right way. You got to all this stuff that just tells you to slow down. This is just another rule to a hip drop tackle. You can't come in at an angle and swing your feet over. No one in the world is going in with ill intentions other than I need to get there and hit somebody fast.
And get him on the ground. And Cam, to your point, well, two things. Number one, Troy Vince was a hell of a player. He was a great, great player. And number two, your point, I mean, longevity is one thing, durability is another. This is amazing, especially at your position. You've only missed, correct me if I'm wrong, you've only missed two games in your entire career. How much of that is just mindset that I'm not coming off the field? How much of that is pain tolerance? And how much of that is just, you know, good fortune, good luck?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of three. I mean, all three. When you think about I'm mad that I've sort of missed the two games. One was due to COVID, and I had, like, zero symptoms. And I was just, like, running in the backyard, like, sending it to my coach at the time. I can run. I'm doing sprints. They said it messed with your chest. I was like, I'm good. And, you know, like, of course I wasn't. So, and then probably 2 weeks later, they shortened the span of the 10 days into 5 days. And I was like, I could have played. But, And then
it's
the other
incredible.
One, I broke an orbital bone, which was pretty – in my mind now, I'm thinking like, well, that was probably dope. I was like, I broke an orbital bone, and they're probably like midway through a Steelers game. I think Kenny Pickett was a quarterback, fell into a sack or something like that. And I was like, got poked probably like the series before. And I was like, oh, I got poked in the eye. It is what it is. Go to the sideline, and they're like, can you see? I was like, yeah, I can with my right eye. I'm good. I ran out before I could really, you know, do whatever. And then went on about the game, played with the left eye squinted or closed the entire game. There was times, I think, like a wide receiver or tight end motioned in and got me. I was like, you know what, that's on me. But I had, you know, and then the next week they told me I broke over the bone. I was like, oh, all right, cool. And they said, yeah, we're going to put you down. I was like, what do you mean down? I was like, I just played a half. I was like, I can play another game. But as I said, I always want more. Whatever you give me, I've got the idea that as long as I can help the team win, like I should be out on the field, and I don't really care about me because it's a we situation.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, you're the only guy I know that playing that position, you literally deep down believe that you could have gone your entire career without missing a game? Is that how it is?
Yes.
Incredible. Amazing. And even more incredible, I believe you, dude. I believe you. Let me finally ask you this. You said during Super Bowl week when you were asked about the Saints and their three-year playoff drought, very clearly I can tell how much this affects you, how badly you want back in. When you were asked about that, you said, look, I've learned not to put my GM hat on, but you did add, quote, maybe a cultural shock needs to happen. Like, results aside, you want better results. What needs to change in your mind? What were you talking about specifically?
I mean, it'd be insanity to say, you know, to expect a different outcome, keeping the same values, keeping the same locker room, keeping the same everything. You know, you can't do that. It's just the true definition of insanity. You know, doing the same thing, expecting different result. And I'm not that. So you talk about 3 years of a drought of not hitting playoffs. You have to create a chance. You have to create opportunities, and that's where, you know, acquisitions and additions to the team happen, as well as the way we go about business, and that is, you know, the Saints upgrading all facilities, all of our facilities, weight room, cafeteria, checking in with ideas, the way we attack OTAs. I think at this point, I think there's 90% of people here. Everybody in this building wants the playoffs. You know, we go to the draft, and we're excited for the additions come through. I think that, you know, you had guys on the line like a Chase Young, and then we go draft a young D tackle. Wide receiver, I think we're pretty cold, and yet we still bring in more guys. We bring in a whole offensive staff change. If that doesn't create culture shock, I don't know what does.
Cam, leave me with this thought, because your energy, even 14 years in, your energy is incredible. Your mindset's incredible. Man, you are on it, dude. I mean, you are locked. You are locked even in the offseason. Has it always been like this? Like, were you a product of that environment with pops and family, or did you come to this? Like, I'm amazed at your energy and focus at this juncture of your career. Has it always been like this?
Yeah. I've probably always had the energy of what I've always known, so I don't know any different. You know, according to my parents, you know, I was a little kid waking up at 5 a.m. singing. And I was like, no. But now that I have an 8-year-old son that does the exact same thing, I'm like, yeah, you got that honest. That's genetics.
That is awesome is what it is. A defensive end for the Saints, 13 years in already. product of UC Berkeley. Cam Jordan, my guest. Cameron, great to have you on, dude. I appreciate you much, so much. In fact, I'm inspired. I love that energy. Thanks so much for doing that again, dude.
No doubt. I appreciate you, bro.
Appreciate you very much, dude. And your podcast is great. Good on you. Clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. No, we want beef. Pure and simple. So where's the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. Shriveled, dry, and tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak and quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. So it's tender and it's tasty. It's not tough. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business known for their relentless commitment to quality. They take smoked beef extremely seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein, and it comes in four amazing flavors that satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes with you wherever you go, to the game, to the gym, to the beach. Look for Old Trapper in the Clearview bag. That way you can see the quality you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef? So Cleveland, this is for you.
This is for you.
Amazingly enough, you didn't even need that dude to win yesterday. That alone is worth celebrating, because that hasn't happened since 1993. The Cavs have not won a series without LaCap since 93. It was only the fifth series that Cleveland has ever won without LaCap. Like in franchise history, no cap. Like going all the way back to 1970, no cap. Which is why you have to enjoy this moment, C-Town. It doesn't happen very often, right? That's why I say, C-Town, this is for you.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Even if it was a kick in the stick to watch the Magic go down like that and let it get away from them. You know I've been all over the Magic. And I still believe. They're still coming. They still have a great young core. They still have a very bright future. There are better days ahead for the Orlando Magic. Yesterday was a big ask. Now granted, it was a big ask, and they jumped on them early. And it looked good. But still, asking any young team to go on the road and win a Game 7 in their first trip to the playoffs is a humongous ask. And as we know, winning a Game 7 on the road is tough enough. And the Magic showed us all just how hard it can be. Even though they had that 18-point lead in the second quarter, that was the toughest part. Like, Orlando had it working. They got the start they needed. They had the game. The stage was not too big. They were comfortable enough. It was right there. They just couldn't finish. 2 of 13 from Jalen Suggs was rough enough. But the Magic were never, ever going to win a Game 7 on the road with Franz Wagner shooting 1 of 15. 1 of 15 in a Game 7. 1 of 15. Brick City. The Magic are not going to win any games with Wagner shooting 1 of 15. Let alone a Game 7 on the road. It was the most brutal time for his most brutal night. Basically, Donovan Mitchell was not going to let the Cavs lose. Well, Franz Wagner was not going to let the Magic win. But credit to the Don. Dude got Cleveland on his back, and he got them across the finish line. All the while banged up and lifting up every one of his teammates. That's a leader right there. That's a gamer. The finish line of their first series victory without LeBron as the leading man in over three decades. Good on him. Once again, Cleveland, I'll say it again. This is for you.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Enjoy it while you can. He's at home. You're advancing. Seriously, I mean it. As you know as well as anybody, the good times are few and far between. Oh, and the Celtics are waiting for y'all. And they're rested. And they're the top seed. I hate to say it, but you already know it. Or at least I thought you did before you were chanting, "We want Boston." You want that smoke. Anyway, Donovan Mitchell at least knows very clearly what they're up against in the next round.
This playoff series is great, but we did what we were supposed to do. You know, I mean, at the end, in the grand scheme of it all, you know, we just took seven games. You know what I mean? So for us coming into Boston, you know, I'm pretty sure everybody thinks they're going to come in and kick our ass. So for us to continue to stay level-headed throughout and not listen to, well, y'all, and just be who we are, that's the biggest thing.
You're pretty sure? Hey, no disrespect. And this is not one of those no disrespect, somebody's about to get disrespected. I've got nothing but respect for Don. You think that everybody thinks that you're going to get your ass kicked? Donovan, my guy, I can confirm it. Absolutely everybody thinks they're going to come in and kick your asses. Myself included. Now, I would love for you to prove me wrong and to jam that Crow Sando down my throat. I would love that more than anything. I would love for Cleveland to push my half fam to seven games or even win. I would love to see my Chowd half fam pushed to the brink by the C-Towners. Sorry, half fam, but you know the drill. I'm not rooting against the Celtics. I'm rooting for team content. Big difference. I'm not rooting against y'all. I am y'all. Well, half of y'all. I'm half y'all. I'm just rooting for great games and a great series. There are too many blowouts so far. Let's get some good games. Let's get some competitive matchups, which is why I'm a little concerned about the defending champs right now. Segway. Honestly, the defending champs do not look like defending champs. They do not look like they're going to be able to hang with the Wolves. I know it's only one game. But that was a pretty important first game. And it's how they did it. And it's how the Wolves handle themselves, carry themselves. Yes, the Wolves. And how the Wolves went into Denver and ripped that home court. The defending champs look like, you ask me, they look like they're facing a must-win scenario tonight. You could say it's only one game. Yeah, it's only one game, except that they already have the home court ripped. And if they ship back to Minnesota, down 2-0, then they have to beat the Wolves, who are looking like a really tough matchup for the next five. Defending champs or not, I have a hard time making that argument. Especially when you've got Ant-Man, who is the biggest emerging star in that sport. Maybe in any sport in the entire world right now. I mean, this dude is a supernova and still just 22. Somehow the Joker is not the biggest problem in this series. Can I repeat that? The Joker is not the biggest problem in this series. The Ant-Man is. And Denver better come up with some solutions really quickly, or this series is going to get sketchy even faster for the Nuggets if we aren't there already. I think Michael Malone knows. That's why he was all over his team about, man, you got to start faster. You absolutely have to start faster. We may have gotten away with it against the Lakers, where they lost the first quarter four of the five games. It didn't matter against the Lakers. It's definitely going to matter against the Ant-Man and the Wolves. Massive game two in Denver tonight. Plus, a massive tone-setting game one in NYC. The renewal of a classic rivalry. Pacers, Knicks, MSG. Love to see it. Love to see it. I mean, I seriously can't wait. Hardly wait. I can't wait for this series. I can't wait to see how absolutely insane Knick fan is for this one. Thankfully, we will have fresh, rabid Knick fan audio from the clinch last week. This was the scene outside MSG when the Knicks invaded Philly and they finished that deal. This was the scene outside of their home arena, even though they beat the Sixers on the road in their other home arena. So you know they're going to take this to a whole other level tonight. Knick fan is incredible.
New York Knicks. Suck on the New York. Go New York. Go New York. Go New York.
I mean, you thought last night was raunchy. You thought that roast was out of control. Knick fan in the street, outside of their building, outside of their other vacation home in Philly. It's the raunchiest stuff there is. Love to see it. I love to see the Knicks in the postseason and advancing. And not because of the team, but because they're fans. To me, the best ticket is out in the street after the game. I'd pay top dollar for that. I want to be outside the building more than I want to be inside the building.
So I've got a quick question for you.
Are you looking for ultimate comfort and pain relief? Let's compare G-Defy shoes to other shoe brands that promise comfort and support and pain relief. Typical shoe brands rely on EVA soles for cushioning, but G-Defy offers so much more. G-Defy goes above and beyond with VersoShock technology, providing superior shock absorption and energy return if you suffer from foot, knee, or back pain. G-Defy's advanced technology may help provide you with the relief you deserve. I can't even believe these shoes and the difference they make for me. G-Defy shoes also offer two free supportive orthotics to help improve your body's biomechanics, resulting in proper body alignment and ultimate comfort. Yes, they do all that. So whether you're an athlete, a busy parent, or just somebody who's always on the go, G-Defy shoes offers the versatility and the comfort that your feet crave and need. Say goodbye to discomfort. G-Defy is more than EVA soles. It could be your path to unparalleled comfort and pain relief. Visit G-Defy.com today. Experience ultimate comfort and pain relief at G-Defy.com. G-D-E-F-Y.com. Use the code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. That's code JIM30 for $30 off orders of $150 or more. G-Defy shoes. They are incredible. Ramona Shelburne. Ramona, it is great to have you back on. How are you?
Good. That was a hype video, right? That was like a whole resume.
You earned it. It's good to have you back. So listen, since you and I are both here in SoCal, why don't we obviously start with the Lakers, who on Friday decided to part ways with their head coach, Darvin Ham. Why are they moving on from him now, just one season after he led them to the Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I mean, I think you could kind of tell throughout the season that the players on the team weren't buying into him, right? You could tell. I mean, LeBron James is throwing a stomping temper tantrum on the sideline in the middle of the Denver series. Like, Anthony Davis just flat out said it after game two. Like, sometimes it seems like we don't know what we're doing out there. And when you have your two best players openly questioning a coach like that, it makes the rest of the team, it makes it hard for the rest of the team to buy in too. And, you know, I'm not in that locker room. I don't hear the film sessions. I'm not part of the X's and O's where they're strategizing for the game. So we can't tell why they lost faith and why they were acting that way or saying those types of things. But I think the Lakers had a choice to make, which is simply, you know, if the players aren't following the coach, like, even though he has a 90-74 record, I think he was a great leader of men through the Westbrook era all the way to the Western Conference Finals last year. The real big difference between last year and this year is just that they played Denver in the first round instead of the conference finals. Denver's the best team. So, I don't know, is it fair? No, but that's kind of what being the Lakers head coach is. Like, you have to live up to the pressure of the job, but also the pressure of coaching two superstars who are not afraid to say how they feel.
Ramona Shelburne is joining us, which brings me to the next question, which is one that you already posed. This is really interesting. You posed the question, the Lakers have had six coaches in 13 years. What's behind the constant churn for the Lakers? Again, a great question. What is the answer?
You know, I think each situation is different, right? Like, so we can go name the coaches. It goes Mike Brown, Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott, Luke Walton, Frank Vogel, and then now Darvin Ham. All right? Each one of those is very different because the first three were hired by Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak. And I think those two guys, you know, at least when Jim Buss hired Mike Brown and then D'Antoni, I think there was a lot of trying to break with the way that they had run under Phil Jackson. I think there was a lot of sense of we're going to do our own thing. That was Jim Buss establishing himself as an executive, making his own choices, et cetera. But the common theme is that nobody lasts more than 3 years. So what's it? What? Why is that? I think it's, you know, if I were to find the common theme there, I think there's probably two. Number one, you have to be the coach that finds favor with the stars. Like what was Phil Jackson's greatest gift? He got to Michael and he got Kobe and they followed him, right? They didn't openly defy him. They respected him. They did what he said. Like it was, you could tell there was a mind meld there. You could tell there was a mutual respect. And I don't think any of the coaches they've hired since really found that with the stars, because the Lakers always have stars, right? Like the Lakers always have, whether it's Kobe or LeBron, they always have a star. There's a little gap in between there, and that's when Luke Walton was there, but they didn't really have any stars. They had young players, and Luke actually did really well with those young players. Then when LeBron got there, he didn't do so well because they didn't get on the same page with LeBron. And so I think that's probably the common theme. And then the other common theme is just how the organization supports the coaches. I think back when Jim Boss and Mitch Kupchak were in charge, it was a different vibe. Like there was not a synergy between Jim and Jeannie back then. Remember all the stories? And coach was sort of on one side and was almost afraid to go down to Jeannie's office. It seemed like he was disloyal. That wasn't good. Right now, and then obviously there was the Magic Johnson era. That was a little awkward, to say the least.
Right?
A little awkward. And now I think the issue is they've hired two coaches. One, Frank Vogel, was kind of a retread. I think he did really well there for 1 year. They won the championship in the bubble. But he wasn't the best coach on the market in terms of market cap. Like that wasn't a Phil Jackson type hire. And Darvin Ham was a first time head coach. So I think maybe that's if you're looking for commonalities, they're not necessarily getting a Phil Jackson with all that stature. Like Phil came to the Lakers having won 6 titles with the Bulls. He was established. He had that respect. They haven't hired guys like that since Phil left.
Ramona Shelburne joining us. All right, so expertly laid out. What now then? What are you hearing?
Yeah.
Who do you think they would like to hire?
Well, there's two questions. When you say they, let's
who's they, right? Who is they?
Yeah. Who's they? Is it the Lakers? Is it LeBron? Are those two, do they have the same guy in mind? I don't know. I think the Lakers would like to keep LeBron. He can be a free agent, and so therefore they should hire the guy that he really wants. But they also want to have some control over this coach. They want to have a say in it. They've actually done a pretty good job of doing their own thing the last few years, and not just doing everything LeBron wants them to do. I think they've had I don't want to say that they've had a backbone. I don't want to say because, in other words, like as if they didn't have one. But the last few years, they really have done what the front office wants to do as opposed to what LeBron wants to do all the time. And he's been a pretty good soldier, except with the hourglass emoji, you know, every once in a while, right?
Right.
So, look, who would LeBron want to hire? I think Ty Lue. That's been the guy he's wanted ever since he's been in L.A., but Ty Lue has a job. Is it the Clippers? He has one more year, and I don't know how you make that happen. Like, the last thing in the world the Clippers want to do is let the Lakers hire their coach. And by the way, if for some reason Ty doesn't come into agreement with the Clippers or if they want to go a different direction or whatever, they're going to have competition because I think the Phoenix Suns would be interested in him as well, although they still have a coach technically too. So what do the Lakers do? Do they hire more of an experienced guy because the last guy they hired was the first-time head coach? Or do they go totally off the board and hire J.J. Redick, who's LeBron's podcast partner? You know, they'll take their time with it. I was a little surprised they got rid of all of the coaching staff because they do have a first-round pick, or they should have one as long as they don't switch with New Orleans. And they're going to want to work out some guys. They're going to want to train some guys. They have a lot of young players who are going to want to have somebody in charge. And so when you keep the staff on and you have a staff to work everybody out, they don't have that right now, but I think they'll go with somebody more experienced. That would be my general sense of who's out there. There's guys who've had head coaching jobs before. There's guys who, have coached stars before, like a Terry Stotts or Kenny Atkinson or those type of guys that have experience, like Budenholzer. I think those are the first names you'll hear getting interviews because they're available and they've had head coaching jobs before. But I don't know which way this is going to go. I think they have a lot of uncertainty now just based on the lack of availability in terms of the coach that clearly LeBron has a desire to play with
him. So leave us with this thought. I mean, I like all three of those guys that you just mentioned, all have experience, but if they want LeBron back badly, and they say they do, you know, he's got that hammer in his hand still yet, would he push J.J. Redick through? I get that Redick thinks that he can do anything at all, but it's one thing to not have head coaching experience, Ramona. It's another to have no coaching experience. I mean, how do you think that would go if that's how that went?
I know. It's an interesting question because it's almost like a little bromance right now, right? Like you see them on their podcast, and this is like a mind meld. But it's really fun to watch that podcast. Like, you know, they're talking strategy and hoops, and they're drinking wine sometimes, and they're, you know, like it's like that's a what was the question before? Like, you know, why did these coaches not working out? Maybe because they didn't have the mind meld with the stars. Well, clearly they have a rapport. They're doing this podcast together, and they're. They really like each other's take on basketball. And if you have that already, I mean, it's not uncommon. Steve Kerr hadn't coached before, and he did really well right away. JJ's obviously pretty confident in himself, and he really knows the game. I mean, he's a colleague of mine. He really, you know, he walked right onto the set at ESPN and was really good right out the gate because he thinks like a coach. He analyzes the game like an analyst. Like, he comes straight with, he doesn't need our stats and analytics guys to make him sound smart, right? He just like he does it himself. So I don't know. I don't hate that choice. I think it'd be an interesting hire straight out of the broadcast booth and all that. But if he's already got the rapport with LeBron, I think that's a pretty big step ahead of everybody else.
Right, Ramona Shelburne. She is an ESPN NBA insider and a senior writer, and all over this and other NBA-related topics. Ramona, great to have you back. So good to get caught up, and great job by you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts are extremely knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, they are friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto, do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Once again, O'ReillyAuto.com/Rome. Clearly need LeBron, the Lakers. They want LeBron. So LeBron's got a bigger hammer now than ever before. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-636-8686. First stop, Texas. Lisa, good to have you. Lisa, how are you?
Hey, how you doing? I've just got a couple of points. First of all, they have to figure out who's going to be number one, who's going to be number two, who's going to be number three. When LeBron went to Miami, hey, Dwayne Wade, that was his team, but you know what he did? He stepped back. Hey, I'm going to let this dude be in control. I think Anthony Davis should be number one. LeBron should be number two. And then go from there, because like the fourth quarter, he didn't even touch the ball. He didn't even take a shot that one fourth quarter. You can't win a game like that. Secondly, whatever coach takes that job, man, I pray for him because LeBron has so much control, or he wants so much control. He has so much power. I mean, the dude is intimidating, not just because he wants to. It's just him. And so, I mean, it's got to be somebody with some tough skin and somebody that they're going to allow to make the decisions and not LeBron make the decisions. Thirdly, and I'm going to let you talk, if LeBron won't, since he has so much control, why don't he retire, be the coach for a year or two, wait till your son come in, go back to the league? I don't know. Go ahead, Jim.
Lisa, you're the best. Lisa just said, I'm going to say one more thing. Racker. War Lady Racker. Clones. Lisa just said,
War Lady Clones.
I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'm going to let you talk, Jim. And then she goes, go ahead, Jim. Go ahead, Jim. It's your turn. Lisa, what if I don't want to talk? Let's go to South Carolina. JD. Great to have you, JD. What up?
Hey, Jim, thanks for taking my call, bud. So, listen, I tried to do this the other night. I tried to give LeBron a little bit of advice. My man, listen, you've already proven that you have a terrible track record picking your own head coaches. You've gotten more head coaches fired than you've won championships. So, I mean, at what point do we finally tell LeBron, hey, listen, you just come play, bro. Or if not, maybe you just want to be the head coach. Maybe you should just stop playing and be the head coach yourself. But what I'm not going to do is I'm not going to sit back and let this man continue to make decisions. And don't get me wrong, I'm a huge LeBron fan. I hate that we are where we are now with him, with his petty attitude, crying, stomping his feet worse than my five-year-old. I mean, my goodness, it doesn't work, LeBron. You picking your players, you picking your coaches. Let someone smarter than you make the decisions and for once just buy in and just go play basketball. You can't play 70 games and scratch and claw to make an 8 seed and then get bounced, you know, trying to make it into even the playoffs in the first place. You got to get some players around you that can carry you through the regular season, and then you flip that switch in the playoffs. But I'm so done with him picking his coaches. Shout out to Eric Spoelstra for being the one who has survived with LeBron.
Dude, you nailed it. Go ahead and rack him, too. You know what I love about both those phone calls? They're both going in on LeBron, and they're both LeBron fans. Two calls last segment, both got racked. Let's keep it coming. We go to Atlanta. The ATL, Mr. Jones is on the phones. Hey, Mr. Jones, what's going on?
What's up, man? These Lakers ain't what's going on, man. You know what I'm saying? As a big Laker fan, like you said, the other two callers were LeBron supporters. I'm a LeBron hater. You understand? I'm a Lakers first. It's Lakers over everything. LeBron is not bigger than the franchise, and that's why he got grown from Miami. Because you need a real manager, a real somebody to tell like LeBron, like Pat Riley did, bro, you're not taking over this franchise. It's our franchise. You don't tell us what to do. So this is what you want to do? You want to come over here and try to run things? Okay, that's cool. Bye-bye. We'll send you away. And that's what we should have did a couple of years ago. But like you said, Mom, we're trying to rob LeBron for this merchandise thing. We're just selling tickets for LeBron. LeBron is just a prop. You understand? All these points and stuff he's getting is empty calories. We keep trying to blame the coaches, and it ain't got nothing to do with the coaches. Everybody keeps trying to listen to LeBron and do this and do that. He is not the Lakers. He does not run the Lakers, even though it does seem like that's what he does. He is not supposed to. Coming from a real Laker fan, it's time for him to go, because once the franchise starts going back downhill, it's all on who? He's the superstar. You're supposed to be the GOAT. So, therefore, when stuff starts goating, you got to go, like Pat Riley tried to do it.
So, I do know exactly what you're saying. My man, let me ask you something. Why, I mean, Mr. Jones, you're the first Mr. that we've ever let on the air. I mean, that's your name, right? Your last name, Mr. Jones? Or is that a moniker or a nickname or what?
That's a moniker I go by.
That's not a good call. No.
Then you self-gloss.
You don't like that color.
I don't like that color.
You know, not the thing about color. That, my man, I don't know if you know the rules of the show. You can't go by a moniker. The show has to give you the moniker. Otherwise, it's known as self-gloss. People who self-gloss on this show get run. Now, I'm looking at the screen. It says Mr. Jones. And immediately it jumps right out at me like, Mr. Jones? What, my guy, you have a first name? Everybody else around here is, they've got a first name. Or a shortened name. Something. Mr. Jones, I've never addressed any caller, Mr. I don't ask you to call me Mr. Rome. Mr. Silkinson. But, I was curious. And then he starts going, and it's a good call. And it's a counterpoint. And I like where he's going. And he's saying with good energy, I'm not like those other two callers. I don't like LeBron at all. But I love the Lakers. And no one player is above the franchise. And he's making sense. He's making sense. He's making sense. So I'm kind of having this internal debate with myself. Do I run him? Mr. Jones sounds like self-gloss. But I didn't. So you know what I decided before the end of the phone call? I'm just going to ask. If he's Mr. Jones and he demands that formality, and his name really is Jones, then that's a different conversation. However, if Mr. Jones is self-gloss, then this is not a hard decision, which is why I just asked. My guy, is your last name Jones? Or is that kind of like a moniker? Something you go by? He goes, oh, that's something I go by. Well, then there it is. Self-gloss. My man. So you might be mad and you might have it in for me, but you're not alone. In fact, I want you to meet all your new friends. If you get self-gloss, or if you self-gloss, you get run.
Levi the Trash Man.
Dice Man.
Loney Carter in Spokane.
The Axe.
Bighorn Bowling Ball.
Jay Dizzle.
Manny Cheeseburger over here.
Shot Caller is Van City.
Lone Prophet.
The Grump.
The Grouch.
Mole Doggy in NorCal.
The Duggler.
Zookeeper.
Roaster. Garbage Man, Brad.
The Cracker Jack.
G-Money.
Sexy Rexy from New Mexico.
The Red Dog.
Horse Monkey. Tree Frog.
G-Money.
B-Man. SB. Bow Down.
Z-Man. Titan
Woman. His Silly Rabbit.
Barracuda.
The Muscle Shark.
Denver John.
The Horse Whisperer.
Main Man here.
The Bread Man.
Tony the Bartender.
Tombo.
Smokehouse.
Cabo Ed.
I'm a Desert Dog. They call me T-Rush.
Rockin' Rodney.
Hey, it's Mad Max from 219 in Indiana.
Rude Dog from North Topeka.
I'm Richie Bones in Buffalo, New York.
A.K.A. A.D.O.R. and the Renegade Master.
Bruin James. SoCal, baby. Bruin James.
Me old bag of deuce.
Duke.
The Tow Truck.
They call me the Booger Wolf.
The Bum Smacker.
Mr. Jones.
That's a moniker I go by.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
No monikers, no self-gloss. Unless his last name really was Jones, but it didn't sound like it, did it? Nobody would say my last name is, quote, just a moniker I go by. Like, that'd be like me, hey, why do you go by Mr. Rome? Is that your last name? No, it's just a moniker I go by. Well, yes, it is my last name, but it's also a moniker I go by. That makes no sense. So, like, his take was great. And had he not been run, he would have been racked, and then we would have had three straight rack phone calls. You can't self-gloss. There are very few rules on this program. That's one of them. Don't self-gloss. Gloss. Don't self-moniker. I've been doing this for 35 years. Is that not the first rule of the show? Have a take, don't suck, and no self-monicking. No self-monikering. Anyway, my man, you've got about 50 new friends. So that's the positive. You've got about 50 new friends. All part of the same club. Kennedy, quote, I knew he was self-glossing. Nice catch, Jim. Signed, Adam Duritz. War. There's got to be somebody for me. Get it in while you can. Mike D, for some reason, is back for more. I have no idea why. Quote, are you saying your show shouldn't be Mr. Jones and me, Counting Crows? Stucknut wants in. Is that the Mr. Jones from the Counting Crows song? Mr. Jones and me tell each other fairy tales. I mean, I really was kind of conflicted. Is it self-gloss or not? Or is it a self-moniker or not? Now we know. J-Rock. Mr. Jones was granted his moniker by the Counting Crows. Reverse run, Duke in Vancouver. I don't think, dude. I don't think they were talking about this Mr. Jones, nor do I think this Mr. Jones bumps the Crows, if I had to guess. I don't think. UCLA Dodger Frank, quote, Mr. Jones, is this dude just the world's biggest Counting Crows fan? Just keep hammering that while you can, Alvin. No. No reverse run. No, he's not the biggest Counting Crows fan. I don't know why. That's his moniker. I had to run him. I couldn't ask. Rome. Mr. Jones and me tell each other fairy tales, and we stare at the beautiful women. She's looking at you. Oh, no, she's looking at me. Sincerely, the Counting Crows. Dress in Seatown, unwore songs about pedophiles. Is that what that song's about? I have no idea. ECS 826. Mr. Jones says no one is above the franchise. Mr. Jones learned that no one is above the jungle. Hey, ECS 826, I did not know you had that in you. Well done.